WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, February 7th. Coming up, a conversation with the new U.S. Attorney for the Central District of Illinois. Gregory Harris is the first African-American to hold this position. That story coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. A lawyer is predicting far-reaching impact in schools from a big legal defeat for Governor J.B. Pritzker on COVID-19 mitigations. Dave McKinney reports.
Attorney Thomas DeVore sued nearly 170 school districts to block the governor's long-standing school masking and vaccination mandates. In a stunning decision late Friday, a Sangamon County judge agreed that Pritzker overstepped his authority. DeVore says school systems that want to keep masking and vaccination requirements now are doing so at their own legal peril, even districts not part of his lawsuit.
If they want to try to make children that aren't named in this case wear a mask, they're breaking the law, according to this judge.
Chicago Public Schools Saturday said it's not changing its masking and vaccination requirements, and Pritzker and Attorney General Kwame Raoul are appealing Friday's court ruling. This is Dave McKinney.
Area school districts are reacting differently to the judge's ruling on Friday. The Mahomet Seymour School District sent a note to parents on Saturday saying that the district would adopt a masks recommended but not required policy starting today because of the court ruling. Mahomet Seymour was one of the more than 150 Illinois school districts named in the lawsuit. The district's school board had voted last summer to adopt a mask optional policy before the state instituted a statewide mask mandate in schools. Meanwhile, the Champaign Unit 4 School District says in an email to parents that its indoor mask requirements for staff and students will continue without any changes. Unit 4 was not named in the lawsuit. Danville District 118 is taking what the district calls a remote adaptive pause day today while the district gets, quote, more guidance and further instruction from its attorneys about Friday's ruling. Superintendent Alicia Geddes says she anticipates returning to in-person learning tomorrow. Elsewhere, with high COVID-19 case numbers at the University of Illinois, some graduate students are trying to improve current campus safety regulations. There have been more than 5,000 COVID-19 cases on campus so far this semester, according to the university's COVID-19 dashboard. There were fewer than 2,000 the entire fall semester. University spokesperson Allison Kopenbarger-Vance says the university has one of the best COVID-19 ecosystems in the country. She says the university has required COVID-19 vaccines and boosters, and that going online for the first week of classes has also ensured campus safety. However, graduate teaching assistant Chelsea Birch-Meyer says the U of I should add a notification system that alerts teachers of possible exposure in their classes. She says that's one of the demands of the Graduate Employees Organization.
I will say a lot of students don't know that we don't get exposure notifications. That's one of the most common things that I've heard, and students have been really alarmed to hear that.
Meyer says she hopes people realize that graduate student workers are doing their best to protect the campus community. During snowstorms, the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District calls on both employees and volunteers to plow the sidewalks. Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes has more.
Daniel Sapphire spent 8 hours shoveling during the height of last week's storm. He cleared bus stops and freed at least 3 buses from snowbanks. Sapphire is normally a planner at the MTD. During the storm, he did everything from mapping reroutes to driving buses. Sapphire doesn't own a car, so safe sidewalks are especially important to him.
It's pretty important for me to be able to get to a bus stop by foot. You know, street plows are great, but only really make the way clear for vehicular traffic.
So on the side, Sapphire volunteers as a snow angel with a joint MTD and CU Safe Routes to School project. The program focuses on clearing snow from sidewalks so children and those in wheelchairs can travel safely. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
Still to come, we'll hear from the new U.S. Attorney for the Central District of Illinois, which covers nearly half the state. That conversation with Gregory Harris is coming up next on 217 Today.
Masterpiece's hit series All Creatures Great and Small is back for a second season. James, Siegfried, Helen, and Mrs. Hall are all a part of it, saving animals, navigating romance, and living life to the fullest in beautiful Yorkshire dales. It's a classic show full of heartfelt moments, captivating friendships, and a dash of mischief. Both seasons of the series are available for you to stream with WILL Passport. Learn how you can watch this charming show at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The new U.S. Attorney for the Central District of Illinois says he'll continue to make human trafficking a high priority. In this interview with Edith Brady Lunny, Gregory Harris says he wants to further develop the Human Trafficking Task Force using a $1.3 million federal grant. He says that will help victims as well as crack down on perpetrators.
And so trying to provide social services for those victims, sometimes it involves drugs, sometimes it involves mental health treatment. Whatever the issue is, we're trying to have an agency under the same roof, within the same task force that can provide these. If it's shelter, homeland, providing beds and those types of things. We've tried to marshal all those agencies together so that we could, almost in a like a cradle-to-grave approach, help someone. Once we help them, perhaps they may become witnesses in a criminal case. Not always, but even if we've just saved somebody from that, pulled them out of that environment, that's a win for us. Now, this is a difficult area because usually victims are not self-reporters. A lot of these victims, show up in hospitals. And so educating hospital staff, what are the identifying indications of human trafficking, you know, and it's not just people in the public tend to think it's, you know, you're going to see branding or some areas of that, but there are other subtle indications as well. And we have hospital folks that are on our task force who educate us as well as we educate them of some of the signs that you look for. But I think we have a group of people and organizations and agencies in our task force that are working well together cooperatively. The opportunities are great. I think over time we're going to have one of the best task forces in the nation in terms of addressing this issue.
One of the programs that I know the Central District had that was put on hold by the pandemic was the Protecting Places of Worship forums. And of course we had a recent hostage situation in Texas. I mean, it was just a reminder that churches and synagogues are vulnerable places. And the rabbi there really credited law enforcement training that he had received with his ability to lead the hostages out of that situation. And do you think those programs, those forums will be coming back anytime soon?
I do. I think after COVID, I mean, COVID has disrupted a number of programs in the human contact that we've had. But in the past, the Central District of Illinois has been actively involved in training houses of worship on how to protect themselves by sending in staff and command units that talk to the leadership in churches and synagogues. One of the benefits of this kind of training is a temple synagogue received $100,000 in federal funding to help put up security there. I think that kind of funding from the department is going to continue. It's not only just synagogues. It's racial crimes, hate crimes as well. The FBI has seen an uptick in terms of hate crimes. The FBI has this banding that it does. It basically categorizes what the threat level is for particular offenses. Where for domestic terrorism, domestic hate crimes, and that kind of thing, the threat ban has increased with the FBI just based upon what's been happening nationally. And so I think you're going to see, you know, a continued presence of federal law enforcement joining with state and local officials to identify this and to take action to prevent it.
A lot of the media about your confirmation mentions the fact that you are the first African American U.S. Attorney for the District. What does that mean to you personally?
Well, you know, I am honored to be a U.S. Attorney, but I look at it more importantly as being somebody who has worked 28 years in the particular office that I'm in and have worked toward being successful in the office. I've tried over 40, 50 jury trials, been involved in complex investigations. I've worked with law enforcement agencies, both federal and state. That gives me more satisfaction and pride than being the first African-American in the district, although I am honored. And I do think that the idea of diversity as far as the law enforcement is concerned and the Department of Justice is a great idea. I support that. I think it has benefits for everybody. There is a big gap between the trust between the community and law enforcement today. One of the things that we really want to do is to build more trust between law enforcement and the community. And I think, in a way, my being African American may help in that regard.
Gregory Harris is the new U.S. attorney for the Central District of Illinois. He spoke with Edith Brady Lunny. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see mostly sunny skies today with a high of 21 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Dave McKinney, Luis Velasquez, Emily Hayes, and Edith Brady Lunny. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.